So we've explored a lot of the sports so far, who have and their decisions and what they have done and what they should do and how they have operated. An interesting one is the race car industry, because there are different elements of it, from Formula One to NASCAR to Indy. And they, like golf, kind of struggled with the decision at first. It's like, oh, we're going to go. Well, no, we're going to go with no fans. Okay, now that we think about it, we're not going to go. Joining us to talk about it, nobody knows more about the industry than my great friend Eric Thomas, host of Raceline Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. E.T., my friend, great to chat with you. And let's start.
You bet.
Let's start, Eric, with the fact racing, auto racing as a whole, seemed to struggle with what to do here. What did you think of the whole thing and the way it played out?
Well, Roger, and great to be on with you. And man, you're fired up, and you know you're right. We all have our big mound of toilet paper, and we're all going to get through this. And there's still lots to talk about. Initially, I could kind of understand what they were going through, because they really didn't want to have to cancel these things, cancel their races, or run them without fans in the stands. But as the only, I guess, second guessing that was going on, is that they're working with their different locales, with different health people, and getting different feedback on exactly, you know, how severe this was, how potentially deadly this could be. So they wanted to make sure that they examined all the different avenues. But in the end, I think the indecision kind of hurt their image a little bit. And I kind of wish they had to come up with a decision not to run their events a lot sooner than they did. Formula One was really up against it. And we talked with Ross Braun, the guy who runs F1 at the track level, about this. The way they're structured is that they need unanimous support from all the teams. Well, just about every team, all of them, I should say, now I want to take that back, say all of the teams did not want to run that race, their season opener in Australia that was supposed to run tomorrow. The only thing that really pushed it over the edge was the fact that a member of the McLaren team actually came down with the coronavirus. And that meant they were packing up their stuff and they were going to go home. And, you know, they said, okay, well, you know what? The FIA and Formula One said, we're going to call this thing off. Unfortunately, the next day, the guy who promotes the race at Albert Park in Australia wasn't going to exactly announce it that way. And they wanted to examine more avenues on whether or not it could be saved. F1 says, no, we're shutting it down. The promoter says, no, you're not doing that yet. Well, as it turns out, they eventually decided that, yeah, to be safe completely, they're going to cancel this race. They've also postponed the next race at the Bahrain Grand Prix, supposed to go March 22nd. Vietnam's debut, brand new race on the schedule. The April 19th race in China has been postponed. There's doubts that's going to be rescheduled. So with all this waffling, it didn't really make them look that good. But I guess if you want to sort of support them a little bit, I suppose they wanted to examine all the areas. But there was a communication breakdown, I guess, with the promoter on why they decided they weren't going to cancel it right away. But in the end, they made the right decision and did that. Of course, you know, the IndyCar guys and the NASCAR guys eventually decided to do the same thing. You know, they were examining ways of maybe running the races without fans in the stands, but they decided, no, the risk is too great. So we might not see Formula One get going until June. We might not see IndyCar get going until May, and NASCAR maybe the same thing. But both of these sanctions are all three of them actually are pretty darn positive in the aspect that they hope to get these races rescheduled and get it all in before the season is all done. But it's a fluid situation, as you know, Roger, and covering everything else with the situation. And we don't exactly know what the situation is going to be tomorrow, let alone a month from now. So it's all up in the air.
Basically. Yeah, we are in uncharted territory and everything. There's no doubt about that, Eric. And that's a great summation of where they're at. So let's deal with the three individually for a moment here. You know, F1 and F1, NASCAR and IndyCar are three very different kettles of fish. And, you know, other sports, sure, we talked about tonight, I mean, the NBA, MLB, golf, tennis, they're all different in different ways in terms of how they structure. So let's stay with F1 because, you know, in racing, yeah, the three of them are different. This is an international sport with people flying all over the continent to come in to these events. Certainly that's got to be different than NASCAR, largely North American, yes, based in, yes, a certain, you know what I'm saying, Eric? Like, exactly, if you're going to consider, yes, of like getting back quicker, I would think NASCAR's got a better shot at getting back quicker than F1.
F1, exactly. And you're clever to point that out. The one thing you have to understand is that Formula One is a global championship. And, you know, rescheduling the races that we've talked about, including Australia season opener on it was supposed to be run tomorrow. It's not just a question of, you know, reloading the haulers and driving back down the road and get back to that racetrack and run the race. With most of these teams based in Europe, they've got to throw all the equipment on airplanes and fly it all the way around to Australia and try to get that thing in, which is massively, massively expensive. You know, the expenses that IndyCar wouldn't have to endure, or certainly NASCAR wouldn't have to endure. The other thing that Formula One had to consider, and one of the reasons why it took them so long to come to a decision, because the simple fact is that they have two extra races on the schedule this year they didn't have last year. The Dutch Grand Prix has returned. The new race in Vietnam, it makes free weekends between now and the end of the usual season very few and far between. And to reschedule it, thinking about, you know, the transportation headaches, the logistics of getting everything flown back to where these, you know, to Bahrain and to other racetracks, it ain't simple. It's very, very costly. So they had to consider all of that. Now, Formula One has one little safety net here that the other series do not have, and that's the fact that they take most of August off for their summer break. So if they're going to do any rescheduling or any shuffling of any of these races, that's probably where you're going to see a majority of them made up, but it's still going to be phenomenally expensive to get these teams back to these venues for races they had to postpone because of this coronavirus health scare. So it's not an easy thing. That's the reason why, for the most part, it took them so long to come up with a decision. I thought, yeah, they could have done it quicker, but boy, you know, they really wanted to make sure they examined all avenues before they canceled it, because making them up is not going to be an easy thing at all. It's going to be the toughest of all three of the major sanctions.
Well, and that's the other element with racing too, Eric. And well, it is with everything, is the difference between a cancellation and a postponement. You know, a postponement.
Precisely.
You
yeah.
know, the for instance, the best example in golf, the Masters has been postponed. The three golf tournaments before the Masters have been canceled. They will not be
yes.
played this year, but they hope the Masters is only postponed by putting it in the fall. How much of the race, and I know it's hard to put the three, you know, F1, NASCAR, and IndyCar in the same kind of thing, but how many cancellations are we looking at as opposed to postponements, do you think? Are we going
yeah.
to see reduced seasons in all three of these, no matter what, or will they
yeah,
find
yeah.
a way on the calendar to do it?
I think on paper you want to try and make up as many of them as you can, but I don't know if that's going to be logistically possible, especially in F1, even with that big break in August in the summertime when they can reschedule a few things. You know, IndyCar, it's a little easier for them to look at their situation and say, all right, you know, we had to cancel St. Petersburg, Florida. Races at least until May, you're probably not going to see it, but there's St. Petersburg. The next race is in Barber, Alabama, Long Beach. Now, that was originally canceled, but then the promoter got up in arms and said, no, we're not canceled, we're postponed. So they're going to have to say, okay, well, can we go back to these venues? The street ones are not going to be easy. Long Beach is a street race. Toronto's a street race. You know, there's a lot more complications than just going back to a racetrack. There's been some talk that if Toronto ever got jostled in the schedule, could they go out to Ron Fellow's place, the Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and run it there? I don't know. Ron says up to the minute they haven't had any discussions with IndyCar about that. A lot easier for IndyCar to do that, but they're not probably going to be able to make up all of them. And if that happens, yeah, you're right. It probably means a shortened schedule, and it could very easily mean a shortened schedule in Formula One. And I think NASCAR, you know, is probably in the same boat. Will they try to get them all in? Yeah, they can. Of course, you know, they have to maybe shuffle around some venues and run it in the deep south as things start to get cold. But, you know, it's all up in the air right now, and all possibilities are being examined, because there's an awful lot of money on the line. The promoters, you know, are going to be out money if the event doesn't go. The cities that they're in don't get the benefit of the commerce from these races. That's a big hit to the town. You don't want to see these things happen. But as you know, as well as I do, Roger, there's only so many weekends in this year, in a calendar year. They don't run year-round. So getting these things rescheduled is going to be very, very very difficult, and you might be looking at shortened schedules before this thing is done by the end of the year, hopefully when this coronavirus evens itself out.
Eric Thomas, host of Raceline Radio on the Sportsnet Radio Network, is with us. I'm Roger Lajoie. As we look at auto racing and the challenges that sport faces with the coronavirus. Eric, another thing, you know, we try to get a handle on, and we're only speculating, but, you know, that's the best we can do. But you would probably have a good educated guess at this one, at least. So other sports look at, okay, drop dead date. You know, for instance, like, all right, look, if we can't resolve this, like, that's going to happen with the Olympics at some point because of the magnitude of people flying there. It's like you can't cancel the Olympics a week before the Olympics. It just, you know, right, there's got to be a date. However, you stop and so let's speculate a little bit and look at racing. So the Indy 500 in May in Indianapolis, we know how important it is, and heaven forbid, and let's hope that it doesn't come to that, that by May we're at least somewhat back to normal and the schedules are up. But is there a time, do you think, for racing looking at it? Look, if we don't have an all clear or a clearance to go by April 15th, we have to cancel. Or is that the kind of thing that, you know what, you can wait and wait, and maybe you could cancel that the week before?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to get bizarre on a guess, and you said speculate, and I'm going to go really, you know, going to get bizarre, but a lot of other fans and probably the promoter and Roger Penske just buying the Indian. Let's talk about the biggest race in the sport and the biggest IndyCar race there is in the Indianapolis 500. How much of the rest of the season will they get in? Your guess is as good as mine, but let's put it this way. If they're going to, if they can only run one race, it would have to be the Indianapolis 500. And in reality, you could go all the way to September, October, and run that thing. And if that's going to be the only race they run, well, that's going to be lousy. But if that's the only one they can focus on to get off the ground, that would have to be that one. And you suspend the championship for 2020, and then you just come back, hoping that everything is all evened out, and you come back storming for a regular championship and a regular schedule in 2021. I can tell you this, that if the Indy 500, the 104th running of that race, what we call the greatest spectacle in racing, and you and I have examined that thing in detail over the years, Roger, is the fact that that's the biggest race in the game, the biggest race in IndyCar racing, the biggest automobile race in North America, and certainly the biggest race around the world in terms of the sport. So they would do all they could to get that sucker done, and then with the rest of them, well, who knows? You know, it just depends on the situation when you're working with a fluid health threat like this. I don't know. What would Formula One do? Is there a drop dead date? I don't know. But you know, there are countries you could run in, I suppose, where it's not bothered by our normal cold weather and our normal winter. Can you get venues that would be open to that? That would, you know, say, okay, we're only going to run, you know, half a dozen races, 12 races. I don't know. You know, it's all a guess at this point, and NASCAR is pretty much in the same boat. Although if they wanted to do a very shortened, condensed season, they could restrict it to, you know, places like Daytona and Talladega down south if this thing lasts through the majority of the summer. And now you're looking at the fall months where it starts to get colder. Can they run those things down in warmer climes? Yeah, they could, but you know, they're going to have to examine all of that and put a scheme together like the NHL. Like when we come back, do we just jump right into the playoffs or try and salvage a portion of the regular season? I don't know if you can even put a drop dead on a date on that, Roger, because it's such a fluid situation. But they would want to get at least as many races as they could. But your guess is as good as mine as to how many that would be.
How about NASCAR and the particular challenges then? I said it might be easier for them because of the geography, the nature of it.
That's
They've
right.
already had the Daytona 500, those kind of things. But is it a little bit easier for them in terms of structure, or are they going to have the same kind of challenges here?
Same kind of challenges, but they have geography on their side. And as I say, their ability to run, if it gets into the fall, they can start running some of these races down in the south. And, of course, they finish their schedule, you know, as they head, you know, further south as the cold weather starts to creep in up in the north. But, you know, you're within tractor trailer driving distance of their venues and their events like IndyCar does. And unfortunately, Formula One doesn't have that luxury. So, you know, once we can get back to some kind of normalcy with this thing, you know, NASCAR will look at the schedule and say, okay, how many of these can we make up? I don't think, as I said before, they're going to be able to do all of them, but they're only a truck drive away. And yeah, it's a pain in the neck and you got to, you know, jostle things, but their races by geography are not that far apart, Roger, from where these teams are based. And most of them are in the Charlotte area, the Charlotte, North Carolina area. So they can cover pretty much all of that stuff, even stuff west of the Mississippi, they can cover, you know, in a day or maybe two with a tractor trailer drive and get the cars out there and get it going. It's the promoters, you know, and their money and how much they get or how much they're going to spend. And now they're going to lose that income if their race doesn't go. People have already bought, you know, season's tickets, have already purchased their tickets. Those people are going to need refunds if the race doesn't go. But you know what? You'd like to be able to sit here at this table right now and plan all of that ahead of time, but you can't because you don't know when we're going to get back to a situation where we can get large numbers of people back into these grandstands. The only thing, too, that's kind of good is like golf. It's unlike the NBA or the NHL. You're in an open-air situation. You don't have people elbow-to-elbow with an enclosed area where the air can be condensed, where this virus is so easily transmitted just by breath and just by contact with people. So there's that to look at as well. But you know what? Geography will be okay for NASCAR to try and get as many restored. IndyCar the same way. Formula One doesn't have that luxury. But there are so many unanswered questions. And darn it, Raj, we can't answer these until we find out what's going on with this pesky virus.
There is no doubt about that. That is a challenge. Do you think at any point, and you know, I'm hopeful and optimistic as possible, Eric, like we all are, that, you know, within a month or two, we can get back to normal. But if this, you know, if we don't go into, or if we do go into full quarantine for a short period of time, it goes out again, but to make sure it's gone, we're still not going to have large crowds. Would they revisit the nobody in the stands again, or is that kind of a dead issue with them? Because after watching UFC tonight and seeing horse racing's decision to continue operating without it, would they revisit that, do you think?
Yeah, I think they would, and I think that was a viable option. Of course, the promoter's not going to like that because he needs the gate to help pay for the event and pay the sanctioning fee, but you know, there's a lot more to look at it here. We haven't even talked about the millions and millions of dollars that the sponsors pour in to these events with sponsorships of the individual cars, of the individual races themselves, naming rights. If you're not going to stage the race, that money's gone. You got to make sure that the sponsor understands that, but they're not getting a return on their investment. You're still going to have television, though, and that's the one thing that may help that and may be the one thing that does push racing at a track with no people in it is the fact that it's still televisable and still on the radio too, for the most part, for IndyCar and NASCAR as well. And the sponsors will get their exposure that way. Now, I had somebody tell me, well, it's not going to be a big hit for NASCAR because if you notice the last little while, they're not playing to full grandstands anyway. Well, that's another issue for another day, but running these races, I think, is paramount, especially with the television coverage and what's at stake there, investment-wise, not only for the sanctions standpoint, but also for the sponsors' investment as well. That if there is a way to run these races, even with empty grandstands, they would indeed have to look at that possibility, I think, Raj.
Well, we'll see what happens, Eric. Raceline Radio challenges for you. What are you going to be doing?
Well, you know, it's funny because we're already geared to this. I mean, you know, we still got drivers to talk to, teams to examine, and news that'll still go on. Because, yeah, as you know, other than Christmas and New Year's, where we do our best of series, we're geared to cover this sport when there is no action on the racetrack. Roger, we're already geared for that, and we have been over the 28-year length of this show. So If I have to go, and we're not stopping, we're going to plug right ahead with this thing because there's still news to be discussed and still issues to be discussed. The drivers aren't going to go away. We can still talk to those guys about, you know, what their thoughts on are all of this. What are they doing to keep busy? What are they doing to keep in shape? You know, all of that needs to be examined. And, you know, we've got a 15 station network across this land of ours, you know, to make sure that we keep this thing vital, and we're not going to go away just because the cars aren't on the racetrack, because we do that in the wintertime. We're kind of built that way, Rogers, you know, so that's not a big deal for me. A challenge, certainly, but certainly not anything that's not handleable, and we'll soldier on with it as we always do.
Well, Eric, ditto for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So, brother, we'll have you on a lot in the next month or two. How's that?
That sounds fine to me. Always available for you and anybody else that wants to talk about this, because it's a big part of the sports framework, and there's lots of racing fans around, especially this. Let's remember, we have an IndyCar race in our city, you know, in July, and we're going to be looking at that and what the ramifications are. If that goes dark again, it's gone dark once before since it was first run in 1986. So we're on top of all of that for you. And if anything breaks in terms of this coronavirus threat, you'll hear it first right here on Raceline Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And we look forward to it. Sunday's a tradition for 28 years strong. Eric Thomas is the host of Raceline Radio joining us tonight. E.T., stay safe, stay well. We'll talk soon, my friend.
You're the best, Roger. Right back at you. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Eric Thomas. Raceline Radio joining us.